If you know what you believe, and you can claim what it is that you believe, then you have a better chance of living what it is you believe. And that's much easier, to live what you believe, than trying to live something you don't believe. Or believing in something you don't live. We invite you and encourage you at Daleville Christian Church to know what it is that you believe and make things easier for yourself than to live what it is you believe. And so we have an affirmation of our faith. This one from Philippians. That is the letter to the Philippians in the second chapter. And the whole thing's about Jesus and what Jesus did, what Jesus accomplished for us. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible reading today, reading of God's Word, is from the book of Acts, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the first 11 verses in the first chapter. In my former book, O Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We're grateful here at Daleville Christian Church that the sermons can be made available to a wider audience on our website and our webpage. Having said that, we encourage all who hear the messages to be in worship somewhere. If you happen to be in the area, we would welcome you Sundays at 9:30 at Daleville Christian Church. But in any event, we invite you to be in worship somewhere, to worship the God whom we desire to serve at Daleville Christian Church, whose word we seek to understand, to follow, and to share. The Bible reading today in the book of Acts mentions an earlier written work. Theophilus is addressed, and that is because Luke wrote both his gospel book and Luke wrote the book of Acts. You should read Acts. You should read the book of Acts after reading Luke sometime and see if you find any common words and ideas that follow through. But I would also remind you that John, in his gospel book, quoted Jesus 6 times to say, "I am going to the Father. I am going to the Heavenly Father." Clearly, the book of Acts tells us about that departure in chapter 1, that actual going to the Heavenly Father. But John, with his gospel, wanted to make sure that his readers understood that there was more to the story. Jesus going to the Heavenly Father is not a pleasant homecoming story. John, in his book, wants his readers to remember the cross, that the way to the Heavenly Father was through the cross. When Jesus told the disciples, "I'm going to the Father," Jesus knows what it will take to get there, going through Golgotha and the cross of crucifixion. Jesus had tried to tell the disciples that this is exactly what was going to happen on his way to the Heavenly Father, but they were in denial. Jesus knew that the way home to the Heavenly Father was through his obedient death on the cross. I debated with myself about leaving what we call our Easter banner still up for today, this Ascension Sunday. But when you think about it, that Jesus is risen, which is what the Easter banner says, that Jesus is risen also points to Jesus' ascension to the Heavenly Father. And if the Apostle John saw this banner, that might be what the Apostle John would think first. Jesus is risen, risen to the Heavenly Father. This is what Jesus told Mary at the tomb, as we read it in John's Gospel. "Go instead to my brothers and tell them," Jesus said, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus was going to the Father, but it went through the cross and also the tomb. Jesus going home to the Heavenly Father was through his obedient death on the cross. I'm reminded of a moment in American history at the Battle of Gettysburg. It just so happened that in that battle, the Confederate Army was attacking from the north, moving to the south. Just before the famous Pickett's Charge, one general told his troops that their homes were just over those hills in front of them. This Confederate general said, "Your homes are just over those hills." And this was true in so many ways. The way south was toward home. And many of the soldiers believed that if this attack would be successful, if the Confederate Army could break the Union battle line, it could end the war with a Confederate victory. Then the Confederate Army men would soon after head for home. It might have ended the war, but as you imagine, between the Southern troops and home stood the Union Army and the climax of the Battle of Gettysburg. Going home meant fighting, bleeding, and dying. Jesus going home to the Heavenly Father meant bleeding and dying. Bleeding and dying for you and me. Now, in the American Civil War, going home usually meant that the war was over for the individual soldier. Either the soldier was wounded, or the soldier was wounded and discharged, or his enlistment was up, or he was simply discharged. The soldier's work was done. But Jesus's going home was not that. Jesus returning to the Heavenly Father is not the end of the Bible, and Jesus' return home is not the end of Jesus' work. Jesus' actual going home was something that Jesus did for us. As we learned in a Bible class last summer, Jesus' ascension was a part of Jesus' work for us and on our behalf. Going to the Father not only required Jesus' death, But after Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus still had work to do. Luke tells us in his gospel that Jesus had to return to the disciples, make sure that they knew they were still a part of the plan, that although they had abandoned Jesus at his arrest, that Jesus was not abandoning them, that although they were not faithful to Jesus, that Jesus had to show them that Jesus was going to be faithful to them. Jesus was going to return to the Heavenly Father to continue to advocate for them to the Heavenly Father and make sure that the Holy Spirit came down to the disciples at Pentecost. Let me put it to you this way. If Jesus does not go to the Heavenly Father, then neither can we go to the Heavenly Father. If Jesus does not go to the Heavenly Father, then neither can we go to the Heavenly Father. If Jesus does not go to the Heavenly Father, then we cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus had told the disciples, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." And Jesus also said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." And Jesus said, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." In an anthem the choir used to do, we sang the words of Jesus this way, "I am going away. If you love me, then do what I say." Twice Jesus says, "I am going away." You heard me say, "I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. You'd be glad that I'm leaving you here on earth. If you love me, you'd be glad I'm going." Jesus also said, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." I would also remind you that so very often we are talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus who walked the earth as God and man. If I can make a statement that is not very good theology, after the resurrection, Jesus seemed to be more God than man. After Jesus' resurrection, we may more accurately speak of Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, for Jesus has finished almost all of his earthly work. But Jesus still has work to do, and when we talk about that, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus in the realm of the Spirit, the heavenly places. We often are so focused on what Jesus did for us at the cross, we forget that Jesus did a lot on the cross, and Jesus did even more than that. Jesus is going to the Heavenly Father and will be seated at God's right hand. The right hand is where the most trusted sits. The right hand is where the heir sits. The closest person to the king, who can speak easily and quickly to the king. Think royal etiquette here. If you sit at the king's right hand, you don't have to be announced. You don't have to be allowed to approach the king. You're already right there at the king's right hand. For some governments, that's the seat of authority. The prime minister, and in this case for Jesus, the celestial prime minister, so to speak. Accountable to no other earthly ruler. And the Bible says that sitting right next to God, Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is making intercession for us. The prophet Isaiah saw this is what Messiah would do, fulfilling Isaiah 53:12. "For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors." The transgressor. That's us. Just in case we didn't put that on your membership card, we are the transgressors for whom Jesus bore the sin of many. No transgressor sees the king unless they have an intercessor. no transgressors can see the king unless they have an intercessor. Jesus is that intercessor for us. The book of Hebrews likes to discuss Jesus' priestly functions as the perfect priest, just as Israel depended on priests in her worship with God, but Jesus is the perfect high priest. Hebrews 7 says, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. And it isn't just the forgiveness of sins that Jesus intercedes for, since Jesus already made the sacrifice for sins. Jesus' intercession for us is a lot about helping us persevere in the faith. Now, I don't know if this is relevant. In the book of Job, Satan is standing in God's presence in order to test Job. Jesus is in God's presence, as the Bible says, to help us persevere all the tests and temptations that come our way. So it is right for us to remember and celebrate and praise God for Jesus' ascension. With the ascension, Jesus continues his work on our behalf. Having made possible our forgiveness by his sacrifice, Jesus, next to the Father, makes intercession for us. And soon we will celebrate the next great work of Jesus Christ, the sending of the Holy Spirit to be Christ with us. One more thing. I mentioned Jesus' words from John's Gospel in the 16th chapter, but very truly I say to you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Unless I go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. One Bible version gives you all the ways you can translate or interpret the word Comforter. Jesus said, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Companion, the Helper, the Strengthener will not come to you. But if I go, I will send the Comforter, the Counselor, the Companion, the Helper, the Strengthener to you, to be close in fellowship with you. Praise the Lord for the ascension of our Lord to the Heavenly Father, to continue his work on our behalf. Amen.